Proverbs chapter 18. For the sake of time, I'll only read the 24th verse. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When I think about a true friend, I think about what God has provided for all of us. The privilege of being in church, the privilege of being together. And when I read about this true friend, he loveth at all times. How do we define a friend? A friend is someone that's there during the good times and the bad times, the adversity and the prosperity. We have that. A friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You think about this relationship that we have about a friend. At church, we even refer to each other sometimes. You'll hear someone in church talk, they'll say brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. It has to do with friendship. It has to do with a family connection. Someone goes to church, you feel close to them, you feel like they're a part of your family. And we are familiar today with these families that have lost loved ones, their sons and daughters in war. And if you've ever been in the military, if you've ever been in combat, there's an expression they have, a band of brothers. It is a connection. At church, we have a spiritual connection, a bond of brothers and sisters that love the Lord, and we love each other. And then sometimes we even hear the word fellowship defined as what? A brotherhood, that you could be together and fellowship together. What a friend we truly have in Jesus today, and what a friend we have in the gift of people that have been placed in our lives, someone you love and someone I love. The value of friendship. Friend who loves you when you do good. A friend, someone that cares about you when you don't do so good. A friend is there in the good times, and a friend is there in the bad times. My best friend, my BFF, and someone that you know that is there forever. A best friend forever. And there's no greater connection to friendship, not only in our families, not only in our church, but that we understand the power of that friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. A real friend, you know, is very protective. A real friend protects you. Many of you have had a friend take a bullet for you, figuratively speaking. They did something very difficult. I know a family that went through a very difficult time, and a child was seriously injured, and I saw a friend step in because the family emotionally wasn't able, and that family friend stepped in and became a protector. A real friend prays for you. They want you to be provided for spiritually as well as physically. So you have the protecting friend, the praying friend, and the providing friend. All of those are same things that we find spiritually in the Word of God. We know the Bible said that Jesus prayed for us before we were even saved. We know that He is a refuge. He's a protector. And we also know that He is a provider, that He provides for us emotionally as well as spiritually. When we begin to talk about this friendship, the Bible talks about it more than once and talks about the friendship value that we have there. If you think about a friend in your life, I've thought about this yesterday, how a friend can get acquainted. It starts out with a friendship. You get acquainted, you talk, and then over weeks, months, and years, that friendship grows and it grows closer. And some of you have had the experience of a friend growing so close to you that that friend has become like a member of your family. That's where that verse of Scripture we just read in Proverbs 18:24, a friend that sticketh closer than what? A brother. Why? because it's saying there can be that growth relationship, that friend, that valuable friendship can grow in there. And spiritually, we know this morning that friend is Jesus, because he does stick closer than a brother. You see, Jesus is my best friend. I hope he's your best friend. And how do we define that? Well, he loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we didn't even want to be a part of his family. We didn't even want to go to church. But it just seemed like every way we turned, there was a reminder, you need Jesus in your life. There was a friend saying, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. Why don't you go to church with me? And we've seen that over and over again, that we have been introduced to the fact that Jesus loved us. And one of the things that you can understand is, what do you do with your friends? You talk with your friends. You hang out with your friends. Sometimes you laugh with your friends. Sometimes you cry with your friends. And sometimes you even whine to your friends. Wah! And just unload and whine. And sometimes you shine. You do everything right, and you even reward your friend for their toleration of your whiny days. And you take them out to eat or have them over for a meal. Well, that's what Proverbs 24:18 is talking about. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You want to have a friend, you got to act friendly. If you want to have friends, you can't be Oscar the Grouch and have friends. No one wants to hang out with an old grumpy grouch. And no one's going to spend time talking and fellowshipping. It'll be that person that's on a mission to say, I've got to help them get out of the grouch and help them rejoin the sunshine and be a part. And someone would love you to be a friend during that time. But what God's trying to get us to understand is, God knew your personality and God knew my personality. And he loved us anyway. He loved us when we were unlovable. The reason we put so much value on friendship at Trinity is because a friend is really a treasure. Hank, they said one time that if a man had 5 friends in a lifetime, he ought to count himself rich. He ought to be a blessed man to know that he had 5 friends in a lifetime. And some of you have a lot more than 5 friends in your lifetime. You found out there's a lot of people that would come to bat for you or help you or be there for you. And you are actually a blessed person because you have the treasure of many friendships. And I thought about my friends, and I thought about your friends. I thought about the privilege we have here as a church. But you know, if I could challenge you today when we leave the building, that we not keep a secret in this building about our very best friend. If we're not careful, we're busy surviving, we're busy living, we're busy doing our responsibilities with our family, our job, our career. But you know what? We really don't tell our other friends about our best friend. And who is that best friend? Well, that best friend is Jesus. He's the best. And I want to ask you, have you told your friends about Jesus? You say, well, everyone knows about God. Everyone knows about Jesus. Well, you know, there's something special about a personal recommendation. How many of you have gone to the store because someone said, you got to try this product, or this food's good, or have you tried this new fruit punch? Have you tried this new brand of bread? Have you tried this particular product that's been manufactured and it's being presented? And word of mouth, what do they say in the advertising world? That's the best advertising. People start talking about it. Who bought all the billboards for Silly Bands? Huh? Nobody bought a billboard for Silly Bands. But every kid in this church has got Silly Bands. And I'm going silly hearing about Silly Bands. Huh? They're going everywhere buying Silly Bands, and they got Silly Bands on sale. And these Silly Bands look like flags, and these look like animals, and these look like something. I don't know what they are. and everybody's got them, and they got to have multiple colors, and they have to be in certain order, and if you pick one up, you got them out of order, they've got to start all over. But how did that get going? It's word of mouth. And that's the best advertising. And I submit to you this morning that we ought to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He ought to be our very best friend. And we ought to tell about what He's done for us. Turn over from the Old Testament to the New Testament to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. For the sake of time, I won't have time to read those first 20 verses, but they're coming over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, verse 1, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, this is Jesus, immediately there was met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man what? Tame him. This man was untamable. You couldn't restrain him. You couldn't put chains on him. You couldn't bind him. He was completely out of control. His family had absolutely abandoned him. His family have said, I give up on him. His own mother rejected him. His family, his wife, his children said, we've given up all hope. There's no way for him to recover from his addictions. He's gone too far. He's gone too bad. He's literally been taken over by the devil. He's being managed by the devil. The devil's controlling him. And there's no way we can help him. His community said, we don't want him on our street. His town said, we don't want him in our town. And the only place he could find an apartment to live was he moved to the cemetery and got in those abandoned graves in the cemetery. He lived in the tombs, a wild man. No man could tame him. Sometimes he'd roam all night, scream and howl because of the war that was raging in his mind and being. And they'd say, we've got to have rest. We can hear him screaming and howling. And they would go and they would chain him up. And with supernatural strength, he'd break and there drag those chains around and those fetters around. They couldn't hold him in one place. They tried to arrest him. They tried to incarcerate him. They tried to get him in a self-help place. They tried to give him in a halfway house. They tried to bind him in the prison system. They tried to bind him to a wall outside of the city. And none of that worked. And one day, on Galilee, Jesus, the Lamb of God, said, let's go to the other side. There was a reason and a plan in the sovereignty of God. There was an appointment to be made. And in Mark 5, we find him coming across Galilee. And when he saw Jesus, verse 6, he ran and worshiped him. He ran and worshiped him. In verse 5, the night before, and always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. And look what he did all night, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know, there's a fad among teenagers today called cutting. They cut themselves. They cut themselves. This is part of the symptom of the age that we're in. There's no peace. There's no rest. There's no joy. And he would cry all night. He would cut himself. And when he saw Jesus, though, isn't that amazing? He ran and worshiped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? How did he know who he was? Whatever was living in him recognized who Jesus was. That's how he knew. They were already recognizing the power of the Son of God. He said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Don't torture me. He said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. What a powerful story. And he besought him, and he said that he would not send them away out of the country. And then there we have the story of him putting those unclean spirits into the swine. But what happens here, ladies and gentlemen, this man that was bound with fetters, this man that was untamable, has now been tamed. And you read on in the chapter, and for the sake of time, go all the way down to verse 19. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you'll see the red letters again. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He wanted to go with Jesus. And he saith unto him, go home to thy what? Friends. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. This man that was bound with fetters, this man that was tied up, in Mark 5:19, he said, you go and tell your friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee. He said, you go home and tell your friends that Jesus had compassion on you. And if he'll have compassion on me, look, I'm at the bottom of the food chain. I'm the meanest, baddest, wildest human being you know anything about. Now I'm changed. I've got clothes on. I don't drag chains and scream through the night. Look at me. I've had a bath. I'm cleaned up. I can talk to you. It's me. I'm back. If he can do this for me, what can he do for you? He said, I want to tell you about my new best friend. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's the message and the lesson that was presented. He said, go tell your friends about your new friends. You go tell them. Mark 5:20, it says, he departed and he told the whole community. This man lived in the area right south of Galilee. There's a whole group of cities. And when you go there, you'll find out the archaeological ruins of many of those cities are still there. And there were 10 different communities. And the Bible said he went back to those 10 communities and he told them everywhere. The Bible word was he published it. He shouted it out. I was dead, now I'm alive. I was blind, now I can see. I was crippled, but now I can walk. His spirit had been healed, and he's telling that story about what Jesus has done. You know what? Jesus made him a promise. Jesus promised him. He said, I will change you by my power. He had the power. Great things he hath done. And he said, you go tell your friends. Verse 20, it said he went and told them what had happened. He departed, and it said, and he told his friends the things Jesus had done for him. And the last part of verse 20 says, and all the men marveled. They all were astonished about what had happened. You see, great things, great love, great words, great Bible verses are given to us. And what do we have there? We have the promises of a friend. And this morning, as we sit here, that friendship that Jesus gave to that poor demoniac, that's the same friend that we have in Jesus. He said, you go tell your friends. And the challenge of today's service is that we leave out of here. We've worshiped him today, but go tell a friend. You go tell people at work, your next door neighbor, your family, and tell them about the forgiveness of sin. Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our sin, never to be remembered against us. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, that is the forgiveness of sin. And we have that promise that is given. And when you see, look at this particular verse in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, he said, but how were you redeemed? With the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Your sin can be forgiven. You say, I've been changed. Well, Jesus said, go tell your friends. Go tell them about the forgiveness of sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from about all of our sin. I know. From all unrighteousness. Aren't you grateful for that? He forgives all of our sin. You can't be too bad and you can't be too far from God for Jesus not to meet your need. And that's the joy. And then what else does a friend promise? He said, I want you to know that I'll give you peace among your troubles. He said, that man was in trouble in there, living among the tombs. He was in turmoil. Jeremiah 29:11. He said, I want you to know, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God wants you to have peace. He wants me to have peace. And that's a promise He's made to all of us. A peace among the troubles of life. And when you begin to look at the Lord, He's giving us, the Lord is a good source of solace for your heart and for my heart in the midst of every storm. Sometimes it's a financial storm, physical storm, a storm of emotions that can come and sweep over you. But God has provided peace in the midst of the storm. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it what? Be afraid. So you have that. Not only do you have peace, and that's a promise, but He also promised as a friend to give you comfort amid discouragement. Anytime you think about the problems that overcome us, in the world you will have tribulation, John 16. But be of good cheer, because God's Son, Jesus, your friend, has overcome the world. No matter what you're facing, no matter how you're disappointed, whatever you're going through, He's there for you, and He's there for me. And then, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace, that you would have that. That fact of overcoming is got to be there again and again. That you'll have that comfort of knowing who Jesus is. And then it says, whatsoever is born of God, what? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. I want you to know, even our faith. God gives you faith and God gives me faith that we can have comfort amid the discouragements of life. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever had a long night? Didn't think you'd make it to the rising of the sun? Well, He said, I've got a promise. You're my friend now, and I'm your best friend. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid. God wants you to have that strength, and He wants you to have that comfort, and take those scriptures and make them alive, and then go out the door and share that good news with someone else. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Hey, that's what you've got to have, is that comfort. The battle that you're in, the fear that overwhelms you. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm afraid. I can't make it. He said, I've got courage amid the fear. Fear thou not, for I am what? With thee. Be not afraid. That's the comfort that you have. That's the comfort that I have. The comfort of a friend. A friend has powerful words. How many times has a friend called you and given you a word of encouragement? The friend that loves you enough to give you guidance. The friend that loves you enough when you're confused and don't know what to do. That's the power of words. The Bible said words fitly spoken. The Bible says speaking the truth, what? In love. That's the words of a friend that will love you enough to tell you the truth. And that's what we have here today. You'll see that God's friendship that He has through Jesus, He'll give you guidance amid confusion. And the Scriptures will provide for you that comfort. No matter what you go through, the Lord shall guide thee continually. He's there for you. He loves you. And then he also said that there's no temptation taking you, but it's common to man. Other people have walked down through this road before. Other people have been through this valley. I'm not going to abandon you. I didn't abandon them, and I will not abandon you. It's the comfort that we have. And then we've got strength among weakness. When I am the weakest, that's when God is the strongest. He has that availability in my heart and in your heart. You know and I know that I can't do it on my own. You cannot do it on your own. But if I look at what the Bible says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of what? All flesh. Is there what? Anything too hard for me? God said, I will take care of you. And when you are the weakest, I will take you all the way through there. And you'll find the strength that He's provided for you and for me because of what? My grace is sufficient. And that's the comfort that we have. And then the challenge for me and for you is that I know I can do all things through Christ. When I leave this building, I still have problems. You still have problems. But we can face those problems through the strength that the Lord gives us. It doesn't matter where you are in this world. We know that God will meet your need. He loves you and He loves me. And with an unfailing love, that's a promise that I can take home. Can a woman forget her child? Listen, there's no way. That's not natural affection. And he said, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Isaiah 49. He said, I carry you with me everywhere I go. I'll never forsake you. When I was on the cross, you were on my mind. He called your name out. He called my name out. And he will not abandon you. He'll not abandon me. We're there with that unfailing love. And then we'll see the fact of John 3:16, we know that God loved the whole world. But he said in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, what? Through him might be saved. We would understand that unfailing love. 1 John chapter 3, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. When we begin to understand, not only do we have love everlasting, but we've got life everlasting. That's what he's promised all the way through there. If he'll walk with me, he'll guide me, he'll provide for me, but then I have life eternal. And the scriptures declare that. It is written, I have not seen, ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath provided, hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians, we have the comfort of God's Word in chapter 2 and verse number 9. What a friend we have in Jesus. There's no friend like Him. There's no provision like Him. He loves you. Jesus is a true friend. And He's the example that I need to pattern my life after to be a true friend. If I'm really your friend, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. If I'm really your friend, I'm going to tell you what He's done for me. And if I'm your friend, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to protect you with my prayer life. And I'm going to provide for you that fellowship opportunity that we can serve the Lord together at the house of God. Now, are you a true friend with your friendship with Jesus? Jesus has not abandoned His friendship with us. But sometimes we allow our friendship to grow cold. Jesus wants us to move our friendship to that place of renewal. In Revelation it says for us to repent and do our first works. That we would be the friend of Jesus as He is the friend to us.